Yeah, I'm pumped. It's been it's not a lot of fun watching. You know, it looks like the guys are having a lot of fun out there, so it's I've been itching to get back in. But obviously, it's been good to just stay patient and make sure I'm feeling fully confident, which, you know, taking a little bit of extra time, I absolutely do. So.
Happy Austin Matthews' back day to all those who observe. The Leafs are back in action tonight after a win on Saturday. They're taking on the Rangers tonight. Yes, an American team. And like we just said, Austin Matthews makes his much-anticipated season debut tonight. You can hear that game right here on TSN 1050. Puck Drop goes down tonight at 7 p.m. with Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph. This is Leafs Lunch. I'm Julia Tesheri from Bar Down. We've got Mike DiStefano, Al's brother, with me from Overdrive. AB, the first time an American team is coming to Scotiabank in what seems like a bajillion-ish years.
Yeah, last time we've seen them in Scotiabank was technically August 8th of 2020 against the Blue Jackets, but that was the bubble.
And it
was
like a lifetime ago.
It was only because Toronto was chosen as a bubble team. Outside of that, you have to go back to February of 2020 before a regular season game has happened between the United States, one of the United States teams and Toronto. And it's kind of wild because every other team in the NHL has now played an American team. So, you know, the Leafs are the final team to do it. Out West, they were out there playing games against, in preseason games, they're playing teams against the U.S. And then Ottawa yesterday played Dallas, and then Buffalo and Montreal played. Now Toronto, the final team to get to play an American squad. And it happens tonight. And of course, that's not the biggest news of the day. The biggest news that Austin Matthews back in the lineup, ready to go here tonight against the New York Rangers.
Yeah, not just that. Austin Matthews looking for goal number 200 tonight, and he's looking to become the second fastest player in Maple Leafs history to score 200 goals. Right now, only 18 skaters in NHL history have 200 goals or less. 200 goals in 335 games or less. The only other active player who's done it is Ovi. Not bad company to be in, AB.
Yeah, I pulled this also, like this great stat from Jonas Siegel from The Athletic. And in the last 50 years, the only players with more even-strength goals in their first 334 career games, Wayne Gretzky, Brett Hall, Mario Lemieux, and Mike Bossy. Matthews is fifth on that list with 152 through 334 games.
Okay, let's just keep pumping Austin Matthews' tires just because we get to celebrate him today. Austin Matthews in his first game of the season, we always remember his first one, right? Four goals in that game against Ottawa in 16-17, but he always seems to put up points consistently in that first game of the year. The next year against Winnipeg, he put up a goal. The following year against Montreal, put up two. The next year against Ottawa, two. Last year was the only year against Montreal that he hasn't scored in his season debut. So we'll see if he can rectify that this season.
Well, we're going to bring back Al's brother's school degeneracy a little bit later on. We'll do some prop betting. And you better believe that we'll have an Austin Matthews prop in there and see if he can, A, get the 200th goal, but keep that hot start streak alive. Because, yeah, like you said, he's got points in every single season opener. 12 points in 5 season openers for him. Tonight's going to be a big one, though. Like, and the Rangers aren't a slouch of a team either. Like,
that's another thing.
They're a good squad, right? So they're coming in. They've got Mika Zibanejad. You've got the Norris candidate, Adam Fox. So, yeah, they're playing an American team for the first time, but they're playing a tough, tough squad.
I think a lot tougher than people are giving them credit for. And I'm expecting Lafreniere to have a really good season this year, too. What a bizarre rookie season to have if you're Lafreniere and you're playing in these weird circumstances, these weird divisions. I thought I was going to miss the North Division. This is kind of a side note that came into my head right now. But I thought I was going to miss the North Division. I'm so jacked up to see an American team at Scotiabank tonight.
Yeah, like, the North Division sounded great in theory at first.
I had fun. I forget what America... I was dialed in on the North Division last year.
I was.
I didn't pay that much attention to a hockey happening around me.
But I don't like that because, like, I'm just a fan of the sport. Like, I just love the sport of hockey. And I'm,
nice guy, tries hard, loves the game.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, that's me. And the fact that I felt too ingrained in what was going on in Canada, I often forgot about what was going on down south. And there's just like so many good storylines, so many good players. Like, I didn't get to watch Sidney Crosby play as much as I would have liked to.
I know.
Ovechkin, like Adam Fox, put up this amazing season last year with the Rangers. And a lot of Canadians were surprised when he won the Norris because they didn't watch him. They're like, who's this Adam Fox kid? He's only been in the league for 2 years. How's he out here winning over guys like Victor Hedman? But he is such a great player and a great talent, and we'll finally get to watch that on display here tonight.
Yeah, I was honestly one of those people. I can appreciate how good Adam Fox's game is, but I think when he got the Norris last year, everyone was kind of surprised just as a result of not seeing him play. The teams like the Avs, like I barely saw the Avs play until the playoffs last year. And when I first saw them, my jaw hit the floor. I was like, they move like this? They move like this all year? They've been doing this all year, and I've been watching the Calgary Flames. So, yeah, excited to see divisions back in their true form. So now we've got MJ on the phone, and I just spoiled like a fun little teaser, because Scarborough's finest is Mike Johnson, who we're going to bring in really soon. But first, here's a little bit of Leafs love to the east end of Toronto.
You know, we got such a tight community in Scarborough. You know, all the boys, you know, I know all the guys that came up my age, you know, within my group, and even all the younger guys and older guys, we always look out for each other. So, you know, we got a nice tight network, and it's nice to have another guy, you know, on your team from Scarborough, that's for sure.
If you come from Scarborough and you hear other people come from Scarborough, you're always pretty close with them, and it's just, you know, the lifestyle growing up there. You know, people, you know, you grind to get what you get. It was definitely a cool experience tonight.
Scarborough's very own Mike Johnson on the phone right now. Mike, Simmons gets a goal, Bunting gets his first as a Leaf. How about that Scarborough to Maple Leaf pipeline?
I gotta tell you guys, I brought a smile to my face.
Nice.
My old Scarborough. Yes, I'm like, that's what we've been waiting to see. Absolutely, let's go. You know what? It's funny. I mean, Scarborough is a massive place. It's like a million people live there. It's not like a tiny little enclave. So there's lots of different neighborhoods within Scarborough. But, you know, I think what they're both talking about, they're, you know, the athletes and the people that live there, kind of the idea that there's a kind of a toughness and a grittiness. Now, I might not embody that, but they certainly do the way they play. And just kind of the neighborhoods we grow up in and the things that are around us. And, you know, Simmer talks about the guys that he grew up with, you know, my age. We had, you know, Kevin Weeks, Anthony Carter were, you know, playing and growing up with me and against me and going to the same high schools and everything else. And, there's just, one of those things that, you know, we joke about Massachusetts guys, kind of everyone from Boston always want to hang around each other. Well, Scarborough's very much the same way. There's a common thread there. And so, yeah, I like it. It's, there's a lot of good players that have come out of Scarborough, and it's great for guys from Scarborough to be able to come play in Toronto, your hometown team, and do some things in front of your family and friends, which would be pretty cool. So, Brett definitely was smiling listening to those guys talk after the game this weekend.
Yeah, you know, Bunting, like his celly too was just outstanding.
Was awesome.
He was so happy, so jacked up to get that first goal in Scotiabank Arena in front of his family and friends. MJ Matthews returns tonight, clearly the big story in this game. We've been hyping him up really since we started this Leafs lunch, this new endeavor a week ago. What does this mean for the team, not just offensively, but what did this mean for getting Mitch Marner going? He's been a little bit slow at the gate, at least productively. And how excited are you to see this new look power play finally get put to test here tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think he does a lot for this team. I mean, he's one of the best players in the world. So even though John Tavares is more than a capable second line center, and then Alex Kerfoot could fill in, you know, on occasion when Tavares gets moved to the first line. You know, Matthews sets the table for everything. He's that good. Beyond the production, everyone else just falls underneath him in a more suitable role that they can excel in. And so, yeah, I want to see him. I think him and Mitch Marner, their obvious chemistry and their kind of the fun that they have playing with each other, the desire to kind of be out there together and contribute to each other's success is not hard to see. And I think Mitch will be happy to get Austin back and have that built-in chemistry and maybe some assists for his good passes and just kind of like figure out the spacing and everything else. The power play, I'm curious to watch it, but I'm like, from what we've seen of it so far, that first unit anyways, that hasn't been seamless, I guess what I'm saying. And you know, Mitch Marner's moved into that bumper position, and it hasn't looked like he's entirely figured out how to best incorporate himself into what's going on. Like, he's trying to do what he's supposed to do. He's in the right spots. It's just not natural for him yet. I don't think it's natural for the power play on how to use him. And so I'm still going to be watching that. Even though Austin Matthews should stretch things out and offer a threat as a shooter on a one-timer spot, I still, you know, Mitch Marner is one of the best playmakers in the world, and he's not making plays on the power play, largely because he hasn't quite figured out what to do out there. So, yeah, I'll be watching that to see if that opens any space up for Mitch as much as it does for Austin.
as much as NHL players will say, you know, I'm just playing my game, focusing on myself and my own team, McDavid picks up a hat trick on Saturday night. Do you think that provides a little bit of extra motivation for Austin Matthews to come out tonight and have a really big, big night? We know how competitive he is. I feel like it might provide a little bit.
I mean, if Austin was watching the Inside Edge segment last year where I said that the value play was McDavid at plus 750 to win the Rocket, maybe he will. Like, listen, every great player has an ego, and while they joke that they're not aware, they're always aware of what's going on around the league. And it would be naive to think that they don't care about winning a scoring title or have the most goals and, of course, the most team success as well. And they compare themselves with the other greats. And the fact that Connor and Austin have a bit of a relationship now probably clues him into what Connor's doing even more. So, yes, it's only been a week and Connor's only got 3 goals, but as does Ovi. Like, those are the two of the guys that Austin's likely going to be competing with to score the most goals this year. I think it probably adds a little fuel to him sitting out, watching other guys. Kopitar's got 7 points. Like, you got to catch all these guys. There's no bonus for getting most points per game at the end of the year. You got to get most points, period. So I think he realizes what other guys are doing around the league.
You still like that over-under of 52.5 goals despite missing the first few games?
I do, yeah.
Yes.
I do. I don't think he's, he's probably going to miss a few games anyways over the course of the year. It's just hard to play 82. I think he's good enough. I think the team's good enough. I think Mitch is good enough that, he was scoring at a 65-goal pace last year. Like 50-something the year prior. So, I still think 52.5 still looking good. The one I'm struggling with, though, is I had Ovi's under 38.5.
No.
That one is looking less and less promising every single night. But, no, I definitely would take the over still on Austin.
In conversation with Mike Johnson, TSN hockey analyst. Speaking of, guys picking up the scoring from Scarborough, that depth scoring has been huge for this team. Now you add in Austin Matthews. Like, how much more dangerous does this team get when you got the depth going, and now you could possibly get those top guys going with the insertion of Matthews to the lineup?
They're going to be better, but I think we got to remember that when Austin Matthews comes back in the lineup, Alex Kerfoot doesn't get the same quality of ice or quantity of ice. Michael Bunting might not get as many second unit power play minutes because the first unit will probably take a minute 40 of those. There is the idea that they, of course, as a whole will be better, but some of the guys further on down the lineup will get less time, less opportunity, and probably will be slightly less productive individually, even though as a collective, they obviously will score more. So that's the when you're one of those depth guys and a star comes back lineup, you know that your role, your minutes are going to get curtailed a bit. But I think everyone will be excited because players are a little like the GM. Like, the players they know what their team's supposed to look like. And they envision what their team could be if everyone's there playing healthy and playing well. And on tough years, some teams never even get that opportunity to look at what they could be all together. And so I think Toronto will be excited to be like, okay, this is kind of our roster. I mean, minus Mrazek, of course, if Hall and Muzzin can play. Like, this is what we're supposed to look like. Mikheyev's not there as well. But, this is kind of who we are. And that would be an exciting proposition for the Leafs players as well as management and coaches.
That's Mike Johnson on the phone. Mike, I'm curious to know your assessment of Nick Ritchie so far. This is, like you just said, the first time we're going to get to see this whole Leafs roster fire, minus Mrazek, of course. Right now, Ritchie's lining up with that top line of Matthews and Marner, but he hasn't shown us too much off the top. How much longer of a leash do you think he has on the top line from Coach Sheldon Keefe?
He has one more week.
One more week. I like the hard deadline.
Yeah, if that. I mean, I give him a week because Austin's back, right?
Yeah.
So there's another transition period. He hasn't had a chance to play with Austin in a game. He hasn't had a chance to see how he works with Mitch and Austin, and I think Sheldon thought that would be a good fit for that line, not for Tavares and Mitch, but for Austin and Mitch. And so he'll get a few games with that duo. But, and I think this is what you've seen in the first few games. It's been, sleepy's not the right word. Of course he's trying his hardest, but he just has not been impactful. He hasn't touched it enough. He hasn't been around it enough. He hasn't made things happen. And that is on him. That's not on waiting on Austin Matthews to get back there. Whatever it is he's supposed to do well, whether it's, you know, be physical in the forecheck, whether it's get to the front of the net, whether it's, you know, create a little bit of offense and some havoc, he's not done it. It's been very quiet for him. He knows that, and so I don't think it lasts that much longer because there are other options, especially with Austin Matthews back, because if Kampf is going to be the third-line guy, then all of a sudden Alex Kerfoot's available to play in the top six. And Michael Bunting's bringing a little juice and jam and has scored a goal. And Spez is, you know, playing really well to start the season. Mm-hmm. Engvall has looked good. It's like there are other guys that would get a run there. It's not like they don't have other options. So, yeah, I'm saying a week at most, unless he starts playing a bit better.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of this team's depth so far through. MJ, Leafs three games into the season and already found themselves in cap trouble. Saturday, they had to sign the U of T goaltender Alex Bishop to a one-day amateur trio contract. I need you to walk me through exactly what happened. I know there were several different factors that led into this, but like, what exactly happened? What cap implications led to them not having a legitimate backup goaltender and having to sign this kid off the street?
Okay, so first of all, we'll get into this, AB. I'm glad you brought this up. I've read some of the narratives and some of the tweets, like, Dubas, mismanagement. Do we realize, like, a half dozen or more teams do this every year?
Yeah.
Vegas played with, like, 15 guys. The Islanders and Lou Lamoriello, who everyone likes to quote as the genius that would never let this happen, they've had it happen to them many times in the last 2 years, so please stop with, he's mismanaged it so badly that two games in, he couldn't get a backup goalie. He could if he wanted to. He chose not to. And the reason he chose not to is because Peter Mrazek's injury, if they put him on LTIR, he has to miss X amount of time, and they don't want to lose him for that much time. So they could have called some up an emergency recall, and then they would have had a backup goalie, but then they would have had to sit a player and play with 17 skaters. And what Kyle Dubas decided to do is say, well, I'll take the 18 full skater because they're all going to play, and the guy we're going to do the emergency backup and be one short on is the backup goalie who is not going to be part of this game. It was a conscious choice. He could have had a goaltender in there but played one man short because of the way that if you put a guy down on emergency recall, then you have to have a guy off your roster. He didn't want to do that. So he chose to sign a guy who was not going to participate in the game. And he was absolutely right. Bishop didn't play in the game. Didn't matter who was back there. You could have been back there. It wouldn't have impacted the game. That was the choice he made, and it was a smart one. Yes, disaster could have struck, and Jack Campbell could have, you know, come up lame in the first period, and then it would have been a situation. But you're rolling the dice. But that's what every team that plays to the cap does all the time. So the criticism of Kyle Dubas, like somehow he didn't see this coming and he couldn't manage it. He absolutely knew this was a possibility and he was prepared for it and he made the decision accordingly, just like several other teams will this year and have in years past. So the noise and that narrative could please end to me.
But like putting GMs in the predicament where they have to make that gamble, have to make that decision, isn't that kind of like a failure on the league, especially with in the times where you have COVID and people are sitting out due to COVID? Like you saw Colorado.
You can't be like, oh, well, what about COVID? The rules were created way before COVID existed.
No, I know, but that's what I mean.
This part of the CBA.
Shouldn't there be some sort of exemption now? Because, like, Colorado had to play a man short because MacKinnon was out due to COVID and they couldn't get around having to bring somebody up. With there still being COVID afoot, shouldn't there have been some sort of amendment? Like, the fact that the CBA, I understand it states that they have to play at least one game shorthanded in order to enact the emergency recall. I just think that's just a dumb rule in general.
Yeah, but I guess it's part of the CBA. And I mean, you could make accommodations and last year they did. They had the taxi squad, right? Like they had a full allotment of players. They're allowed to move guys up and down without penalty. I think the hopes was they would get back to normal. And it's just, listen, it's a financial mechanism, right? It's a financial mechanism. Clubs don't pay more because they only pay 50% because that's the way the HRR is cut up. But this year, artificial escrow, they are paying more than 50%. So it's just a financial mechanism to limit how many guys you can have up on a roster. Now, you can say you don't like it. I get it. But you don't have to operate this way. You can have your team go further below the cap and leave yourself room to bring up players. You choose not to. Teams are making this choice. They don't have to, right? Like, they don't have to sign Cale Makar to $9 million. They could have signed him for $7 and kept $2 million around to bring up extra players. They make the choice to play the players, whatever they do, to get them on their team and build their team, knowing this is not a surprise. There's nothing new about this. Teams know that they can find themselves in this situation, and they're willing to accept that risk because they'll deal with it in the one or two or three games that happens during the course of the year, and that's fine with them. And if it's fine with them, it should be fine for you.
That's Mike Johnson on the phone on Leafs Lunch. Mike, did you see Carlo's tweet yesterday? It ruffled some feathers, kind of sent Alan Walsh on a bit of a Twitter rant. You've been through a lockout. What's that conversation like to get a soft cap? Do you think we'll ever see it?
No, not a chance.
I love the enthusiasm there.
Like, not even close. Like, listen, I was there in 04.
Yeah.
We missed a year, what, and a half? Whatever it was?
Yeah.
Trying to not have a cap at all. And we weren't even, like, we got demolished in that negotiation. Straight up. Players, like, we were told it might take a couple of years, and we were not prepared. Mm-hmm. And we're never going back. Never going back away from a hard cap now. Like, you might be able to, like, try to argue for a greater percentage point or a redefinition of HRR or whatever it is. But the owners are not going to give that back. There is no way. And, yes, it would be great if you could, you know, the NBA has some luxury tax items where, you know, if you can sign your own players and go over the cap, it costs you luxury tax, but it's possible. Larry Bird rights, I think they're called. They have some of that stuff. There is zero chance. And to be quite frank with you, I don't think the players, it would be better for them to want that. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be in their best interest to try to go get it. Because what it would cost them to go get that would be a year or more of not playing. And I know firsthand, in your short career, that's not worth it. And I'm pro player all the way.
Yeah.
But that ship has sailed. We're not going back there.
In conversation with TSN hockey analyst Mike Johnson, MJ, there seems to be a lot of fanfare over McDavid scoring from the right circle specifically the other day. I saw Mike Kelly tweeting about how he'd been working on that exact type of goal, trying to score from that area. But is this a big deal, a little deal, or like a no deal here?
It is a big deal because of what it symbolizes, which is two things. One, the best player offensively by a mile spent his offseason working on stuff he's not good at. And quite frankly, he's not good at shooting the puck with slap shots. He absolutely is not. I think that Mikey put out, he had took 14 slappers there the whole year last year and did not score one time from his off wing on a slap shot. So, like, that is a big deal. Like, you know, remember what we talked about when Sidney Crosby wanted to get good on faceoffs and wanted to score a bit more and all the stuff he went and tried to work on. You get credit for, you know, evolving your game. I think Connor McDavid needs credit for evolving his game when he's already the best offensively. And maybe more tangibly why it's a big deal is if Connor McDavid even poses a semi-threat to score from 40 feet, which he has not posed up to this point in his career. Like, he just doesn't shoot the puck past the boys from outside the top of the circle. If he could pose a little threat from there, and he said it himself, that will draw defenders closer to him and away from the net, which will then open up space past those defenders down to the net, which is where McDavid wants to go anyway, which is where he goes even when guys pack in to the hash marks, he still gets around them. Can you imagine if they try to meet him at the tops of the circles? He'll have a field day going around guys. So, yes, it is a big deal, because it opens up more offensive possibilities for a guy who's already kind of heads and tails the best offensive player in the world.
So basically what you're saying is hopefully you bet the overs and did take Mystic Mike's advice and also bet McDavid to win the Rocket.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Exactly.
Kind of a side story, Mike, but we saw the Leafs debut their relaxed, not fully relaxed, but business casual dress code on Saturday. They could have used a couple irons, but I thought they looked okay. Come on, guys, at least iron the shirt. Mike, would you be into this as a player?
Yeah. Listen, I'm into letting guys do whatever they want. And listen, some guys might want to wear a suit.
Yep.
You know, like, whatever.
John Tavares is 100% showing up in a suit tonight. Right, is there a money line on that? Because I'll throw it down.
There should be, exactly. So I'm all for guys being able to do whatever they want. Absolutely. It doesn't matter if you wear flip-flops and sweatpants or a tuxedo. It will not impact the way you play. How you're going to play is how you're ready for the game mentally. And if wearing a suit kind of puts you in a frame of mind, like, I'm going to work, I'm turning my head on because that's, you know, the reaction you've had for wearing a suit the last 10 years, then maybe you want to keep wearing one. If it doesn't matter to you and you turn your brain on while wearing, a hoodie, and now they're not quite that relaxed, but, something more casual, then go get it. Now, if it's me, though, I'm like, I'd almost rather just, like, I don't want to, like, dress like I'm going to the golf course. Like, I don't want business casual. Like, let me be street casual and stylish, or make me wear a suit. Like, that in-between game is almost worse to me because, like, it's not a great look, personally. But I'm all for letting guys wear whatever they want, and I like the recognition that wearing less than a shirt and tie somehow makes you less ready to play. And maybe, well, Christmas is coming up in a little while, but, you know, mix in a steamer, because the guys don't iron anymore. Steamers are where it's at. You want to get, they have big houses, big closets, you get the industrial steamer, you just hang your shirt on it, turn it on, and like 3 minutes, it's good to go. Maybe food for thought for the boys for Christmas.
Yeah, so true. Like, I'm basically the age of all these players right now, and I can't remember the last time I've ironed a shirt. So I'm in the same
boat. I actually have a steamer now that you say it. I just have, like, a $15 steamer.
I have a portable steamer I bring with me on the road. I got no shame. Absolutely.
No, I mean, I wish I was able to do that. I just, I don't know, just not part of my daily routine. I should mix it up now and then, though. MJ, thank you so much for joining us. A blast, as always. We'll catch you again next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
You too.
Take care. There he goes. Mike Johnson, TSN hockey analyst. I'm Mike DeStefano. She's Juliet Cherry. Joe Bowen, Bonesy, the voice of Maple Leafs hockey, joins us next. Here on The Lunch, you're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
Works in on the right side, pulls up, tries to send it to the net, a bouncing shot, big save there by Campbell, down it goes, Jack be nimble, Jack be quick, Jack stop that with his goalie stick!
Jack be nimble, Jack be quick, Jack stop that with his goalie stick. That is iconic
call.
Welcome back to Leafs Lunch. I'm Julia Teixeira from Bar Down. Got Ike, Al's brother DeStefano from Overdrive here with me. The Leafs have the Rangers tonight on TSN 1050. Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph have the call for that game. We've got Joe Bowen on the phone, one of the most iconic voices in sports. Bowen, how's it going?
I'm good, Julia. How are you today? It was nice meeting you the other night, by the way.
Yeah, everybody thought this was going to be my first time talking to you, and I said, no, guys, I built up the courage. I introduced myself to the legend at Scotiabank.
Well, I'm glad you did, because I want to put a face to the voice, so that was great.
Yeah. Bonesy, first off, your Packers beat the Bears yesterday. What are your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers telling the Soldier Field crowd that he owns them?
Well, when you get the double bird from a fan, I think you should respond, don't you? And you know what? He could have dragged Brett Favre into the conversation,
that's
too.
That's true. Because, that's true.
Since he arrived on the scene, the Bears have been, running behind. They've been at the back of the bus. They're not getting anywhere with Aaron Rodgers and company.
Yeah. So as Aaron Rodgers' employer, you approve of his messaging?
I do wholeheartedly. Yeah. I see absolutely nothing wrong with it. In fact, I was very happy that they were able to catch it with the audio portion of the game.
It was pretty fantastic. Bonesy, look, we brought you in with one of the amazing calls that you've made. You've had so many great ones on air. Wee Willie Nylander, that Jack Campbell quip. I've always wondered this, and I can't believe I haven't asked you numerous times I've actually seen you in person. Like, do you write these down, or does this just, like, come to your head and you just say them on the spot?
You know, one of the things that has been asked to me many, many times is, what will you say when the Leafs win the Stanley Cup?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I have always said, well, I don't know. I hope it will be something that is memorable, but it's not going to be rehearsed. I'm not going to write it down. And the reason for that is because then it will sound like it's written down and that you've rehearsed it. And, so I really don't go into a game thinking, oh, here, I got to try and here's a good line. I'm going to try and work this in. It's the not so fertile imagination that I have. But every once in a while, something seems to be pretty good fit, and away it comes out. So, I mean, it was the same thing with Holy Mackinac. My dad had said this for years when I was a kid, and then when he passed away before I went to high school, I never got to ask him where he got it from, but I never used it for, I don't know, 20-some-odd years of broadcasting, and then one night it just blurted out, and the rest is history.
That's awesome.
Is there one specifically that you can think of where you kind of looked at Ralphie afterwards? You said, that was pretty good.
He looks at me sideways a couple of times and says, "What the hell did you just say?" And I don't know if it's like that we would do something like that. But the one thing that I've always wanted to do was to have it be spontaneous, have it kind of fit the moment, I guess. And when you do as many games as we do, they're not all going to be Rembrandt. Sometimes there's a Picasso in there, so you gotta kind of
squint a little,
upgrade it every once in a while when you can.
We've got Leafs broadcaster Joe Bowen on the phone on Leafs Lunch. Joe, we haven't had you on yet. Like we just said, it's your first time on with this new-look Leafs Lunch crew. So I've got to ask, through three games, that was more of a tongue twister than I was expecting it to be. How do you assess this Leafs team so far?
Well, I think they're feeling their way, Julia, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Obviously, the offense hasn't triggered in yet. William Nylander is off to a good start, but John Tavares has struggled. Mitch Marner hasn't gotten. I mean, they've been snake bit. They've had chances, but haven't scored. It'll be nice to get 34 back in the lineup tonight because that will certainly add a great deal to it. But I think the other aspects that you have to be very pleased with: one, Jack Campbell has been as good,
yeah,
if not better, than what he was a year ago. I think their defense has been very good. I've been impressed with Rasmus Sandin and his development and his poise. The power play has been better than it was in the second half of the season last year. And if they can continue on this kind of a clip, it will really enhance what they can do. So I've been impressed. And the newcomers, Bunting, and although Nick Ritchie hasn't scored yet, he's had chances. I've been impressed with David Camp and his defensive work, and as well as Kasha. So I think the pieces that they've added, I've been impressed with. And you're just waiting for everything to kind of meld together. And I think tonight with 34 back in the lineup, it'll help.
Absolutely. And one of the guys that you didn't mention that I've been really impressed with so far is Rasmus Sandin. I think his development has come a really long way since last year. He's been pretty impressive through the first few games. What sticks out to you about his game so far?
I think one of the things that playing defense in the National Hockey League is a very difficult thing.
Hmm. Yeah.
Young defensemen arrive on the scene and play when they're very young because they are offensive defenseman. And Rasmus Sandin paid his dues playing in the American Hockey League. And that's where he learned to play defensively, move the puck quickly in his own end, avoid getting your face plastered up against the glass, using your defense partner as your outlet. So all of these things, that's what I've been impressed with. And his offense and his ability to work the power play as well, I think, is something that we've seen that is a bonus, if nothing else. So that's the one aspect that I've really been impressed with is what he's been able to do in his own end, getting the puck out of his own end with limited amount of time spent there trying to work it out. So that is in effect. And Liljegren's been the same. I mean, these are two first-round draft picks that the Maple Leafs have really taken their time developing, and now are seeing some of the rewards of and they're reaping those rewards.
Coming into tonight, Jack Campbell would be his fourth game played in six nights. How encouraging is it to see him to be able to play this many games in such a short time span, especially given last year he did suffer from fatigue at times?
Well, you know what? He's getting an opportunity to run with the ball, and I often wonder why goaltenders, for some ungodly reason, are like starting pitchers in baseball. Well, he can't pitch again for another 5 days. And then, of course, you get into the World Series, they're pitching every other day. But Martin Brodeur played 70-some-odd games. Glenn Hall went 504 games consecutively without ever having a night off. So I think Jack Campbell is more than willing and more than capable of playing a lot of hockey this year. it's nice to have Peter Mrazek there, and they're going to push one another and probably be able to take the workload off. But if you talk to Jack Campbell, I'm sure that he would much rather be between the wickets than sitting on the end of the bench.
Yep.
So, you know, I think that, you know, as long as he doesn't get hurt, and I think that he's capable of playing, you know, through a stretch like he's going to have to here with Mrazek out.
Voice of the Maple Leafs, Joe Bowen on the phone. Joe, we've been talking a lot. Well, first, Austin Matthews has been the star of the show today because he makes his debut tonight. We've also been talking a lot about the fact that it's the first time we're going to see an American team play the Leafs in what seems like forever. As a broadcaster, how excited are you to see a different set of jerseys coming to Scotiabank Arena tonight? Are you prepping any differently? Does it feel different than that North Division did last year?
I had to check to see if the Rangers were still in the NHL. and then the website said that they were. So I guess I had to do a little game prep with that. Yeah, it is strange. It really, it's bizarre. You know, I mean, how could you possibly have ever predicted this? Had I known a couple of years ago when we were in Vegas, I might have put down a couple of shekels on all of this and become a very wealthy man overnight. But, yeah, it is going to be good to see the rest of the league because, really, last year we really didn't pay much attention to other teams in other divisions because there really was no need to. And you heard about people playing well and Lafreniere struggling to start the season before he got his first goal and things of that nature. But having said that, you weren't going to be preparing for anybody until you actually got to that point in the playoffs. So this will be fun to see them. They're a different team. They're a younger team that's, trying to find their way. They're in a bit of a rebuild as far as the Blue Shirts are concerned. So it will be fun to see them and obviously the rest of the National Hockey League. And the other thing that I think is going to be interesting is the Northern Division was put down last year as being very weak. Well, we're seeing that maybe not quite the case. I think that we're going to see that there are some pretty good teams up above the 49th parallel that were playing against each other a year ago, and the boys down south are going to get their comeuppance for suggesting that it was weak.
Another new thing the Leafs are adding this year, we were just talking about it with Mike Johnson, the Leafs are semi-relaxing their dress code for game days, going for more of a business casual kind of vibe. Joe, are you going to relax your game day attire? And who is more fashionable, you or Jim Ralph?
Oh, that's Bonesy.
Ralphie's a clothes hound, so I would never. But Al's brother has seen us relax our clothing restrictions when we show up to do the games from the studio at TSN. I have my Notre Dame T-shirt on, a pair of sweatpants, and running shoes. So that gets relaxed. But when we do go to the games at Scotiabank Arena, we've got the suit and tie on. That's just old school, and I'll stay that way. I'm not a clothes hound by any stretch of the imagination. So if these guys think that they are, expressing themselves, by all means, go for it. Until you start showing up in sweats, I think that that's okay.
Bonesy, it was a pleasure chatting here today. Have a good call tonight. Leafs Rangers right here on TSN 1050, puck drop at 7. Joe, take care.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That is Joe Bowen, the voice of the Maple Leafs. I have seen him come in here on I've seen the contrast. I've seen him at Scotiabank Arena where you saw him.
Yeah.
And I've seen him here, and he's right. It's a very relaxed.
Yeah.
I think he was wearing a Notre Dame T-shirt last time he was in here. But I'm curious, like, if it's a Sunday game and it's relaxed, I know he has that. I should have asked him this, actually. We had him on. It would have a good time. But I know that he has, like, that St. Patrick's Day coat. St. Patrick's Day outfit. If it's a Sunday, is he going to get himself a Packers one?
That'll be interesting.
And he could rock those on Sundays.
Joe Bowen, such a legend,
that would be
though.
Fine.
When I was at the Leafs game the other day, I sat in the press box for the first time, and mm-hmm. the only question that my Papa Guido asked me was, did you meet Joe Bowen? And I was like, yeah, I did, actually. It was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. Bonesy is an absolute legend and such a celebrity within Leafs Nation. We have a couple little notes to chat about quickly before we go to break here. Yesterday, Nick Robertson left the game with the Marlies with a lower body injury. Don't quite know the extent of the injury just yet. Needed help getting to the dressing room. He's being reevaluated today, but it didn't look good. And that's just tough news for the kid.
Yeah, you got to feel bad for Nick Robertson. He struggled so much with injury. Not only COVID has kept him sidelined for so long, like the AHL barely played last year, so that kept him sidelined. And then he was sidelined also with injury for so long last year. So you hope he gets back healthy soon.
And it wasn't just one injury. I remember Kristen Shilton, yeah. We had her on a couple weeks ago, and she was saying how it was actually multiple injuries that he dealt with last year that forced him to miss quite a bit of time. And like for a kid so young, and he's still trying to develop, consistently running into injuries year after year is not... It's not ideal. Certainly not ideal for that. Kucherov also out a while, apparently.
Yeah.
Just taking a look at some of the updates here. This from Brian Burns saying that John Cooper says Nikita Kucherov is going to be out for a while. A little while here. Definitely not a day-to-day thing. We'll wait to get more information before having a clear idea of just how long he'll be out. So Nikita Kucherov also now expected to miss some time for the Bolts.
Yeah, which is an interesting one. I've been reading through the commentary on Twitter. Obviously, Twitter is reacting to this very normally because of the whole LTIR thing last year. But you got to feel for a guy like that, too. I don't care what anyone says. No NHL player will sit on the bench.
Absolutely not.
Not a chance. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care about any salary cap manipulation. No NHL player or professional athlete is sitting on the bench to hop in during the playoffs and have an unreal run. Just not a thing.
No, they're driven. Like, they're in the NHL for a reason. Yeah, like, they're just wired and driven.
It's like MJ was just saying, you only play in the NHL so many years.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't make any, like, that's just nonsense. People suggesting this is another LTIR quip. I mean, there's something going on with Nikita Kucherov.
Yeah.
This is a legitimate injury, I would assume. I'm Mike DeStefano, aka Al's brother. She's Julia Tesheri. The Leafies up next here. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050. Take my breath.
Leafs Lunch is brought to you in part by Lease Busters. It's so easy to get out of your car lease at Canada's number one lease takeover marketplace. Lease Busters. Avoid penalties and early termination. Go to leasebusters.com. AB, we have something very exciting coming up. Last year, it used to be the Alumni Awards on Leafs Lunch, where they would hand out awards to players based on different things. This year, we have something new. It's called the Leafies, which is kind of our personal play on the Dundies, where we, two people whose opinions are about as relevant as Michael Scott's, hand out awards to our favorite Leafs from the week or from the weekend previous.
Honor. Prestige. A celebration of...
The waitress tripped on the cord.
Presenting the Leafies. A celebration of Leafness.
What am I going to do with the award? Nothing. That's the least of my concerns right now.
On TSN 1050, the Leafs live here.
Shout out to Stop Mamona for making that sting. That was unbelievable. I absolutely love The Office. And making the Leafies off of the Dundies.
I wish we were at a Chili's right now, except I'm banned. Just kidding.
that'd be interesting. Let's take a look at our first award that we're giving out. It's called the Dougie. It goes to the all-around best player of the weekend, or through the first three games in general.
Yeah.
We're using the first week kind of as our barometer here for these awards, and we've given it to William Nylander.
William Nylander's looked like a man on a mission. We've talked about him a lot this week, how good he's been. Obviously, he has points in all of the Leafs games so far, leading them in points so far, 2 goals, 2 assists. And just the emotion that he's been showing on the ice, the effort he's been showing.
Yeah.
This is a new look William Nylander, that even though he was a polarizing, controversial player, some people loved him, some people hated him, William Nylander is arrived. He's a player.
Absolutely, he's arrived. And it's like an all-around game. Like, not only, like, he's hounding pucks, enforcing turnovers deep in his own end. He's killing off penalties. His last three games, he has had over 2 minutes of penalty kill time over the last three games early in the season, which is something that if you would have told me 2 years ago that William Nylander is going to be trusted killing penalties, I would have said, yeah, okay there. Especially back then, Babcock would have been the coach. But he is, and he's actually like trustworthy in that role. And per Mark Masters, dating back to the playoffs and the end of the last regular season, he now has points in 21 of 24 games. Unreal. It's that consistency element that has allowed William Nylander to really become one of these elite players in this Leafs lineup.
Yeah, moving on to the Carlisle or the Reimer. This one is to our just okay player. Someone you'd like to see improve their play this week, or tonight rather, against the Rangers. Wasn't all that noticeable on the weekend, and we're going to give this one to Nick Ritchie. He went pointless through the first three games. We've said we want to see him bring a little bit more. We heard MJ said he gives him about a week left on the top line if he doesn't see more out of him. I think he has three shots on the season so far. Just been meh.
Just okay.
Yeah, just okay.
Just okay.
Just okay.
I thought he was okay. You know? Just okay.
Yeah, that basically sums up Nick Ritchie's game. The Wendell, a.k.a. the Hyman Tucker Award for the hardest working player and the agitator. And there's only one man that this could go to, and that's Scarborough's own Michael Bunting. Oh, my goodness. Picked up his first goal as a Leaf on Saturday night. He's drawn penalties in each of the first three games. He's heavy on the forecheck. This guy's been all over the place. He's shooting. He's playing well in all aspects of the game, playing well in the power play as well. Michael Bunting has been a pest, to say the least, but he's also producing offensively.
He even got the Darcy Tucker endorsement on Twitter this weekend. At 16, Darcy Tucker tweeted, "So number 58. I like it," with the thumbs up emoji. So I think that's good enough reason in itself to give him this award.
And the ODOC for quote of the week, Jack Campbell.
Are you starting to notice the crowd chanting your name after the big save?
I did hear it and really appreciate it. So thanks, guys.
You got that before, Jack?
No, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I'm obsessed with the giggle.
You love the giggle.
Me.
You love the giggle. As we do on every game day, time now for Al's Brother, School of Degeneracy. Take a look at tonight's matchup, which can be heard here on TSN 1050. Rangers in town taking on the Maple Leafs. And Toronto favored heavily on the money line at minus 182. So if you think that they're going to win, you can put that money. But to me, the value's on the puck line. If you think that they can win by two or more, you can get plus money there at plus 125. Over-under sitting at 6 goals, but a couple props that I like tonight. Auston Matthews, do you think that he gets number 200 tonight?
I do.
Then you can go ahead, place that prop bet, goal anytime, minus 133. I think he gets Mitch Marner going tonight. I have Marner over 1.5 points at plus 86. So go ahead, you can place those bets wherever you can find them. If you missed any of today's show, you can find it on tsn1050.ca or wherever you get your podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano for Juliet DeSherry. You've been listening to Lunch here on TSN 1050. Gameplay with Matt Cause next.